KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM present Candidate Forum. Your chance to hear from and talk to candidates running for Emporia City Commission and USD 253 school board positions. Candidate Forum is brought to you by Justice Painting, serving the area's painting, epoxy floor coating, and concrete polishing needs. By Ray Roofing Incorporated. Call 342-7576 and let their roofing experts go to work for you. By Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area. Contact Geotech for all of your land surveying needs. And ESB Financial. ESB's notify alerts, real-time alerts for online and mobile banking. Call 342-3454 or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. And now, today's Candidate Forum.
Good morning. Welcome to 14 KVOE and 96.9 FM for the first of our candidate forums. Today, Chuck Sample is your host as we start diving into the city commission matters at hand, both today and then tomorrow at 10:06. And then we will also have a candidate forum October 19th and one on the 24th, both of those revolving around the Emporia School Board, USD 253 Board of Education. This morning, we are pleased to have with us in the Roger Hartsook interview room, City Commissioner Becky Smith. Becky, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chuck.
Glad to have you in. How are you?
Thank you. Doing good. It's a beautiful day outside.
It is a wonderful day. Aaron, good morning. How are you? Aaron Harder, City Commissioner as well.
I'm good, Chuck. One correction. The other candidate forum is Thursday, not tomorrow.
That's true. I have actually Lyon County Clerk Tammy Vopod on our morning show tomorrow, 8:10. But yes, Thursday. It's today, Thursday, and Tuesday will be the schedule. And we also have newcomer Will Spencer. Will, good morning. How are you today?
Doing wonderful. How about yourself?
We're doing well. Now, the format is going to be the way it's been for a while, for several years now. We have our list of questions here that we will be asking probably through about 10:25 to 10:30, depending on how things go here this morning. Then we'll open things up for questions, and we already do have one on the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line that will be asked here before the program is out. So we'll also have opening statements. We'll have closing statements. So roughly a minute and a half, 2 minutes for each of those here today. And we also have a set of three breaks, so four segments here for our program today. As mentioned here, our sponsors, and we're very pleased to have them on board with us this time around, Geotech, ESB Financial, Justice Painting, and Ray Roofing. So with that in mind, we're going to get started here today, and later today, 620-342-5863 will be the number, but that'll be around 10:30 here for you to call your questions in. Our opening statement, we'll start with Will Spencer, political newcomer. What is prompting you to run for election here this cycle?
Well, I served my country as a military veteran, and now I want to serve my community. I will be a representative of the community as a whole, and it is my goal to bring the community together so that we can all prosper and grow.
Outstanding. All right, Becky Smith, what's prompting you to run for re-election in your case?
Well, I've enjoyed my 6 years. I think we've gotten a lot accomplished, and I want to keep accomplishing more and keep Emporia going forward.
Outstanding. Thank you. And Aaron Harder, you're running for re-election. Essentially, you were appointed, so your situation is a little bit different. But what is prompting you to run for election this cycle?
Oh, similar to both of them. I was voted in by the other four current commissioners about a year and a half ago. It's been a lot of fun. Emporia is on the cusp of some great growth, I believe, in my mind, and we have a lot of projects that need fulfilled, and look forward, if reelected, to fulfilling those projects.
Okay. Expanding on that, and this next question we'll start with Becky, your work and life experience that has served you well so far in office and will continue to serve you well.
So like all of us in here, we've all been born and raised in Emporia, and we all love it. I've always worked multiple jobs, which always interacts with the public, so I got to hear different versions of different things. I meet with a tremendous amount of people at my current two jobs as well as with the city. So it just kind of all the life experiences have come together to give me a different perspective of community members from all walks of life. I've always been around the city with my father working for the city for many, many years. And we've all been active. The whole family's been active in community events throughout the town and everything like that. And so it's just really an accumulation of everything that's come through my life. I think it just gives me a better perspective on how to handle things.
Okay. Aaron, how about you? Talk about the work-life experiences that you bring to the table that have served you well so far in office and would continue to serve you well if you're reelected.
Sure. Somewhat of the same as Commissioner Smith, obviously born and raised in Emporia. My dad worked at ESU for 40-plus years in international education, so saw a lot of diverse people come through Emporia and got really a world view early on in my life. Mom born in Iran, so piggyback there. Best two parents you could ever ask for. A really good childhood. They taught me to get involved in the community at a young age. Been involved in many, many clubs, organizations around town. And then when the opportunity came, when Rob Gilligan left a year and a half ago, to get involved in city government, city policy, jumped at it and had an absolute blast.
All right. Will, from your perspective, what work and life experiences do you bring to the table here if you're elected?
I've lived here my entire life as a member in the Emporia community and also a family-owned and operated small business owner. Stepped into my parents' business when my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and, you know, family first always. So we've been in business for over 29 years. So I'm very invested in the city of Emporia. Focusing on health and nutrition, I've been accustomed to listening to individuals' concerns and desires and can use the experience to benefit the Emporia's communities and residents. And also, I was trained in Air Force core values, integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. And I'd love to bring that to the Emporia community.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answers. Now we get into the issues at play and broad stroke here. We're going to start with the biggest issues facing Emporia as we get into the November 7th election. Aaron, I will start with you. What do you see as the biggest issues facing the city right now?
Well, your next question has one of them, so I guess I'll leave that one off for now. Big issues facing Emporia. Housing is one of them, obviously. We've all heard how short Emporia is on houses over the last 10, 20 years, not building at a quick enough rate. I think we've made some steps to improve that recently. Childcare, and I guess none of these problems are unique to Emporia. Childcare is a big one. I don't know that city governments have gotten involved in childcare up until this point, but it might become a must. Workforce, you got to have the proper workforce for the type of businesses you have. And then I think another issue is expanding the types of businesses that we have. We're pretty heavy in line work, pet food, et cetera. It'd be nice to diversify our workforce a little bit.
Okay. Will, what do you see as the top issues facing the city?
A lot of those issues are that Aaron discussed are a lot of the issues that we are, you know, dealing with in a lot of different aspects. But I would like to see, you know, some of these corporations, these major stakeholders, to see them start investing into the community. I'd like to see that because I think that's a crucial thing, because by them investing into the community, that takes down the cost that gets put on taxpayers and makes it to where it's more affordable. And seeing them invest into different programs can sit there and help with the child care programs as well, because those major stakeholders, they've got the money. So seeing those big corporations come in, we want to see them invest in Emporia for the long haul. And that's the big thing that I would like to sit there and see, because we have the struggling workforce that those major corporations are dealing with. But if you can't afford to live here and the housing and the taxes are too expensive, then we're not going to have the workforce, and those large corporations are going to leave, and it's going to affect the community as a whole. So, you know, those are different things and big things. You know, I plan on meeting with those stakeholders and having those conversations, because that's something I've done my entire life, is meeting with these major corporations, discussing different things. And I'd love to sit there and see that benefit the Emporia community, because I'd like to see them invest for the long haul.
Okay. Becky, how about you? What do you see here as some of the biggest issues that Emporia is facing right now?
So the big three are always infrastructure, which I know we're going to get to, and housing, and child care, and taxes. You know, everybody really talks about those, but one thing nobody talks about is our view from the outside to the inside. You know, the more people get online, the more people complain, the more people talk down about Emporia, that's when corporations notice. That's when other businesses notice. They're like, why would I go there? Nobody cares about their own town. So to me, we need to make sure that we put a positive outlook on everything, especially when you talk about your hometown, you know, or if you've moved here and you're loving it. I think the naysayers sometimes get a lot louder than the positive people. And I think that really puts a tone throughout your town. And that's, you know, when you bring somebody to town and you sit at a restaurant and the people three over from you are just complaining about absolutely everything about Emporia without really going into why whatever's happening, it really puts a tone. It's very hard to sell Emporia when you get into that negative space.
Okay. We've already referenced a topic that I think everybody knew was going to be on our list, especially given the summer and the fall that we've had with all the water main breaks, and it happens to be underground utilities as we're kind of start ticking off some of our specific issues here that we're going to address today. And Becky, you get to start us off on this. How best should the city move forward with the, say, funding short-term but also maybe longer-term improvements? And bear in mind, residents here that you're listening, that there's already work that started now on the Peyton Street Waterline Project. You have the 24th Avenue Waterline Project, which is coming, starting maybe late this year, possibly early next year. And then you've got another leg of that, which is going to be starting up, what is it, near Garfield Street, going down to the Warren Way Water Tower within the next couple of years. So there's three massive water main projects either underway or starting here. But how best does the city move forward with funding so that there can be, say, more zones and getting things underground back up to speed?
We actually have a water consultant. Is it Burns and Mackey? Burns and Mack. Burns and Mack.
Okay.
And they actually help us with our water issues, the rates. People don't realize that we also have to bid and purchase our reserve water from out of Council Grove. So they brought to us different scenarios of here's your new water meters, here much they'll cost, here's how much we think the water's going to cost out of Council Grove, here's how to still you still have to pay off your water tower that we're still paying off. And so basically the five of us had to commit to say, yeah, we're going to have to raise the water rates slightly, but it's literally just to pay everything off. We're not really making a dime at all. We're trying to just improve Emporia. And yeah, that water infrastructure has been set for 30, 40, 50 years with nobody touching it. You know, and our guys get under there and the pipe is not even where it's supposed to be because it's been hand-drawn, you know, or they didn't know there was a manhole. So we're just trying to take it little by little, trying to keep it down for the taxpayer. But, you know, at some point we have to at least pay for ourselves. And that's kind of what this commission currently has chosen to do.
Okay. Will, what do you see here? How could the city move forward with funding, say, short-term and longer-term underground infrastructure projects like what we're seeing here next 3 to 5 years and maybe down the road from there?
Being a business owner that was affected by the 6th Avenue Waterline Project as well, I mean, communication is a big part, and I think that that's going to be a big thing to really implement in these areas so that people understand because, you know, these different things, they affect more than what we people really realize, and, you know, the cones come up, and that's the only communication that a lot of people have, and, you know, they don't know. So we need to sit there and get that out, formulate these plans, and then I would also utilize a lot of the older people that have done the research on the community that know where a lot of it is and use those resources to put things together because that is very important because they remember where things were because they lived here, and that's a big thing of the community. And as people age and stuff like that, we start losing that. So utilizing those resources, you know, people that are doing, you know, the geocaching and everything like that in the community, utilizing different things like that can be very beneficial if we put it all together and utilize those things. So, yeah.
How about you, Aaron? What are your thoughts here on infrastructure?
Well, you've mentioned a lot of what's going to be done, and I think it's hats off to even the commission before me to look at the southeast water transmission line and kind of running a pipe that part of town uses a lot of water, mainly Hills and Simmons and Michelin, etc.
Yep.
And there just was not the infrastructure to get them the amount of water that they needed. So them approving the southeast transmission line is big, and then piggybacking on that, a future project tying that to the water treatment center. There's been a lot of investments prioritized by the commission to the water treatment center and underground utilities. You got to remember that like Becky said, a lot of this has been untouched for years and years, and they get down there, and a lot of these pipes are almost 100 years old now, from the 1920s, and it's easy to put a Band-Aid on something and try in the sake of saving money, but at some point somebody's got to pay for it, and I think hats off to the current commission for using their wonderful bonding structure and rating to get some of these projects done.
Okay. It's 10:22 here on KVWE and KVWE.com. Before, I'm going to follow up on this, and the only other follow-up question I have specifically on infrastructure, and Becky kind of mentioned to a certain degree, is the funding side of things, specifically on the infrastructure projects. Is there periodically what comes up is using COVID relief funds, ARPA funds, whatever you want to call them, or whatever. Has that ship sailed, or is there other funding avenues to be had that are available for maybe getting extra funding done or extra projects done without a huge hit to the city coffers?
Yeah, everybody talks about COVID or ARPA funds, and yeah, those ships have pretty much sailed, and everybody talks about, well, you should go get a grant. Our department heads are on every single grant that they can pull in, and it is a competitive market. And a lot of times that grant is for only $500,000 because they want it to go as far as they can, and we're talking state and federal dollars. Well, $500,000 in a $10 million project isn't going to get you very far. We will still take that money, don't get me wrong, and they go for every dollar they can. But it takes a lot. We're very blessed with the state. We have good working relationships with them. They tend to do the CBDG grants if we can do that for infrastructure. We do have a great bonding rate, which is what Aaron mentioned on, which keeps our interest rates low, which keeps more people interested in buying our bonds. It just takes a lot of money. And people think, well, why can't you shift money to go take, you know, our sales tax dollars and go put it into water? You cannot legally do that. I like to tell people, Janet tells me there's a bucket for every fund. You cannot mix your buckets. There's a few places you can, but water rates.
That's not one of them.
That is not one of them. Water rates have to go to water infrastructure. Sometimes you can shift like some man hours, you know, some payroll over there, but that's, you know, paying our guys 24 hours a day to do the water main breaks. So when it comes to funding, we are out there. We are looking under every bush. We are looking everywhere. But, yeah, there isn't a lot of infrastructure funding anymore, or it's extremely competitive.
Okay. Gentlemen, anything else that you wanted to add, or maybe just other potential avenues that should be pursued?
I think she covered it.
Okay.
Only thing I think of is maybe discussing, I mean, if these different projects are to benefit, you know, these major corporations, you know, do they have funding available to sit there and put into the community, investing into the community to sit there and cover some of the costs? You know, that's a possibility.
Okay. 10:24 here on KVWE and KVWE.com. We'll take our first break here on our candidate forum. Again, you are listening to Becky Smith, Will Spencer, and Aaron Harder. More of candidate forum here in just a second, and also your questions coming as candidate forum continues on KVWE.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KVOE News Time 1027. It is segment two of our first candidate forum. And again, we are joined in studio by Aaron Harder, Becky Smith, and Will Spencer. Our questions continuing, your questions coming soon. We'll be opening up the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch of the Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line. 620-342-5863 in a second. That's the same number for the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. We already have a question off of the text line here in a second, so we'll be getting to those questions shortly. We've already talked about underground utilities here, in case you're just joining our program. We've already referenced the housing market, which has been tight for several years. And this is where we're going to go here with this particular question. And Will gets to start us off here. How should Emporia handle the tight housing market, and where would be the best places in town to build?
Well, I feel with that, that's another one going back to, you know, the stakeholders and having them invest in the community. Also meeting with a lot of the different corporations and stuff to sit there and discuss with them their plans in order to see their improvements within the community. And then also I feel like we should also utilize a lot of the houses that are in the community to see if they are able to be repaired and keep that where it's at a cost low, improving the city improvements. Those can be very, very important as well. And places to build, you know, being away from a lot of the utility areas and, you know, investing into areas that are, you know, not going to be affected by floodplain and are able to grow. I mean, I think that's a big thing with that. So, yeah, I think with the housing, that can sit there and improve the labor shortage. So those corporations will sit there and benefit, and that'll bring people in. And then also, you know, discuss with banks about possibilities of, you know, opportunities for people moving into the community. So do they have programs available to sit there and help?
Understood. Becky, how about you? How should the city continue to address this issue, and from your perspective, where would be the best places in town to build currently?
You know, we've been working with developers. A lot of people don't realize that there's, you know, four houses going here, three houses going here, two apartments buildings going here. People just really see the huge, you know, we want to build 100 houses. Well, Emporia's housing market is actually building continuously. And as for where, I've always wondered why we haven't gone west. I mean, we are landlocked a lot, and not just northwest, but southwest out, you know, by our expanding industries over there. And if we do build to the northwest, that doesn't mean we have to build, you know, $400,000 houses. We could have mixed use. We can have apartment buildings. We can have low-income houses. You know, it just takes a really good planning. I think we're on the right path. We offer basically what's called a toolbox for our developers. They can pick and choose kind of the way they want to go through. And we have developer contracts always in the works. So we are doing stuff. It's just not always super splashy that people will see, but there's always something being built.
Okay. As we look at things, Aaron, what do you see here as how Emporia should handle housing? Because you mentioned this to a certain degree in your opening statements. How should Emporia handle this, and where do you see best places to build?
Well, we're just north of I-35 by Trussler. The Metropolis Division's putting in just a little less than 30 houses. Those should start going up pretty darn soon. The commission just approved the Kretzinger tract down by the zoo. That'll be just under 60 houses. We've issued industrial revenue bonds for 30-some units in infill inside of Emporia. I think the big debate now, probably on the commission, is where to build next. West does make some sense. Infill obviously makes a lot of sense. We're taking a proposed vacant housing proposal to the Planning Commission later this month, and that's not a you have a vacant house, you must get rid of it. Don't really want to tell property owners what they have to do, but we want to come up with ideas and multiple plans for someone that has a vacant house that could transform that into a living unit.
Understood. It's 10:31 here on KVUE and KVUE.com as we continue here our candidate forum today with Becky Smith, Aaron Harder, and Will Spencer. Becky, what is I'm going to start with you on this one. City government's role in expanding child care options for residents and businesses. What do you see there?
So I have a unique perspective. My daughter and son-in-law just moved back to town and had my first grandchild, and they did it, a lot of it for child care and be around family and that kind of a thing. And we are not the only ones having child care issues. You know, they came from Omaha, where it's ridiculously expensive up there. But I think the city has to walk a fine line. We can incentivize, you know, we can encourage, like, CareArc has their certification for daycare. I know the city or the state's child care department is pushing hard and they have incentives going. So I think our job is to booster those people that are already on the front lines trying to solve this problem. I don't think it's something necessarily the city needs to get 100% into. But again, if there's already people doing the work, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We need to just help them in ways we can.
Aaron, you mentioned here about this may be something where city commissions, not just here, this may have to be something that city commissions take an active role in. How do you see city commissions' role developing here with this?
Well, it's kind of like the housing sector in past 5 or so years. Cities have had to get involved into housing. The old developer agreements just didn't work anymore without some incentives, and piggybacking on what Becky said, I don't know that the city needs to open up a city child care, but we definitely need to partner with other agencies and help promote people getting into child care so that they're safely taking care of the young ones around. We got a wonderful Jones Early Childhood Center. If there's a way to expand that, if you can get more four-year-olds not needing child care because they're already in school, that'll open up some spots for other kids as well.
Will, how do you see this? What do you see as Emporia City Government's role, or what should the role be now in addressing child care and expanding it?
There's a lot of home daycare in the community as well, and I feel like, you know, communication and helping those get up to, you know, par where they are a quality child care can be very beneficial, you know, utilizing different resources so that they have the information that they're able to expand or grow or open up the spots, and, you know, teaching people to be able to do child care, that can be very beneficial. You know, growing up and stuff, you know, we can say, you know, the mom was always at home taking care of the kids, but now it's a child care worker, and it's somebody that's staying home and she's taking care of while the father's working, but it could be vice versa. The mom could be working and the father could be at home. So that's something that we sit there and face, and providing these different information and these resources, and then putting it out there to where the certain organizations or home care facilities are out there, you know, so that people have more access to them. I think that could be very beneficial as well. You know, I also don't feel that there needs to be a community child care, but I know there's some different things that are in the works and everything in that aspect. And if those are, I feel like the child care that has been established in the community should have a say in that as well. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's take our second break here on KVUE's Candidate Forum. Again, Will Spencer, Becky Smith, Aaron Harder joining us here in studio. We do have a couple of questions on the KVUE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. We'll get to those after we get to the break. And we still have a couple more questions that we do have to ask here from KVUE News before we wrap things up. 10:35 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. Candidate Forum continues after this.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did you know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
1037 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, the first of our four candidate forums, the first of our two city commission candidate forums. Thursday we'll have Travis Hitt and Jamie Souter joining us, 10:06 here in the morning, but we're currently continuing here with Becky Smith, Will Spencer, and Aaron Harder as we continue taking our questions and now starting to take some of your questions. We've had a couple right now that have been pending through the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. Aaron, I'm going to start with you because this one comes in. It's about slum landlords. And the question is pretty simple. What can you do about slum landlords?
It's a great question. There's obviously property rights, but there's also some moral rights. The city itself, via state laws, can only do so much. But everything is kind of complaint-based. Per state law, per city law. So you really need your landlords or your tenants, to send in complaints. And then the city has the right to go inspect those complaints. And if it's a life safety issue, then you can really do something about a quote-unquote slum landlord. Again, going back to the vacant property ordinance, I guess you'd say, that we're looking at maybe drafting. We'd love to be able to give landlords, any type of landlord, options on what they can do with their property to better their property, to better the tax base, to better the experience for the tenant. But yeah, it's a tricky one because it's hard to tell somebody what to do with their own property.
Right. Is this something that's at least being considered for maybe some changes for later on, at least based off of current conversations with you and other city commissioners on the board?
It has been discussed. The state just passed a law earlier in the session this year that put a stop to what cities and municipalities could do. But there's definitely options out there. You want a landlord that cares about the community and cares about its tenants, and anything that's a life safety issue will be addressed for sure.
Okay. Will, you're up next on this. What do you see as ways the city should maybe address slum landlord situations that have arisen or could arise in the room?
I believe, communication directly with, those stakeholders of those specific properties and everything like that, and addressing it in a, more vocal aspect, because I feel like, a lot of these things happen and then they're just gone on, closed ears and everything like that. And it's never spoke upon or anything like that. It's not being addressed by the city. It's not anything in that aspect. And I think that's why a lot of the people in the community have the concerns, because they're dealing with issues of no electricity or no heating and air, no water. And this is happening for weeks on ends. And, I think we as a city should sit there and address those situations and, hold them accountable, because that is, a major situation, because a lot of these people that invest in the community are from out of state and there's no communication. So I feel like we need to sit there and hold them accountable and stuff. And, if anything, you know, come up with specific programs and stuff like that, so that that is addressed in a quicker manner.
Becky, from your perspective, what can be done when it comes to slum landlord situations? We've had a few that have hit our airwaves over the last 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're not usually local. And what we can do is, again, it's complaint driven. But this current commission, we actually expanded our life safety from about only 7 things that we could do something about to, I'd say, about 50, mm-hmm. maybe. It is complaint driven. You need to call our code office. They will send out an inspector. They will take notes. They take pictures. They document everything. And then they send it to the landlord on record, wherever they are. And they usually have 30 days to correct it. Or if it's a life safety, they can try to do other things. And it's a tricky thing because you don't want to just shut the house down because now you have homeless people, right? Mm-hmm. So they try to work with the landlord. But a lot of times all our hands are tied except for giving them a fee, you know, or a citation. Yeah. And most of these landlords will be like, I will pay that. No matter what we make it, they will just pay it. So it's really a matter of just kind of hitting them. And then it's a tricky situation. Our code office does great work. We probably could use about 4 more of them to get out there because they are all out there every single day trying to help somebody. We're not just about the, hey, you can't build your bathroom. We're about, hey, you need to do it in a safe way. And if you don't have electricity or water, that is life safety, so they can contact the landlord.
Okay. Well, thank you for that question off of the Bluestone Farm and Ranch text line. We have another one off the text line here. Will, you get this one. Should commissioners be involved in banning books at the local library?
I feel like that's more so a situation that should be, you know, addressed by individuals and their concerns. I don't feel like that's the responsibility of the city commission in banning books or anything in that aspect. That's something where the community as a whole needs to come together. We need to prevent the divide and all of us come together and start finding out what we as a whole feel is important and what we want to prosper and grow from. And, you know, if books is a concern and everything in that aspect, that's something that, you know, we as individuals come together and address it with these public libraries. You know, if we had multiple libraries and different libraries had different feelings, you know, that's something that we could address on different aspects. But, you know, we have one major library, and then we have the libraries and the schools. And that's something where we as individuals, parents, and everything come together, and we as a community show what we care about most.
How about you, Becky?
21 years as a bookseller, so no. banning books is never a good idea. Now, I will say sometimes you need to restrict the content from certain children. When I was selling books, you know, if I had a really good reader who could probably read anything in the world, a super smart kid, they don't need to be reading adult content, you know, romance. So it's also a matter of the parents paying attention. But in this day and age of getting a book on your phone, getting a book on your tablet, if you ban a book in the public library, they're going to go to the school library. If they do it at the school, they're going to go to the public library. So it is not a good idea by any means, but I also see where a parent needs to have a little more input of what their children are reading. And so that's kind of where I come from.
Okay. Aaron, how about you?
No.
Leave it at that?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you could also ban a book in your own household. Like, you could tell your child, I don't want you reading that book. And then that child should not go check out a book. Or, but they're readily, like Becky said, you can get a book on your phone. You can get a book on your tablet. You can go to a library. You can get a book anywhere you want on the internet. I don't think it's city commissioners' jobs to micromanage the Emporia Public Library.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your questions. I got one more here before we take our final break here on our candidate forum. And this has to do with really how can city government attract employees to be civil servants? And this is on top of what's already been done the last couple of years with wage and benefit improvements. Becky, I'll start with you on that.
Having pride to say that you work for the city of Emporia, whether you're a policeman, a fireman, in our code office, as an engineer, as our sanitation workers, just saying, yeah, I do work for the city of Emporia, that I have pride in my job. I give 100% and we make it the best place to be. Yes, again, like you've mentioned, we've done pay raises and a pay study, and we're trying to bring it up to, you know, industry standards and that kind of thing. But after that, it really boils down to the morale and having pride in your job.
All right. Aaron, how about you?
City employees to be civil servants?
How do you attract more people to be civil servants, especially on top of what's already happened with the wage and benefit adjustments the last couple of years?
I think Becky hit it on the nose there. It's having pride in your work. I think that's pretty universal, or not just in city government or city employees. I know the department heads, a lot of them are newer, including the city manager, and I think you've seen a shift in pride in the employees, and we've been able to, with our wage study and our increase in wages and benefits, we've been able to retain a lot of employees and even recruit new ones. I know there's other entities that are looking at kind of copycatting what we've done because they're struggling with their employees, and I think Becky's hit it on the head. Community pride and pride in what you do.
Will, how about you? How do you see the city maybe adding on top of what they've already done with wages and benefits and wage improvements specifically, and maybe attracting more civil servants to the fold?
I mean, just like Aaron said, you know, pride in what you do, that's a big thing. So, you know, it used to be a big deal of working for the community and stuff like that was something that people took pride in, and it's lost that. And a lot of that is, you know, fear and a lot of different things. So, you know, addressing, you know, certain things and taking the workload off of certain areas, utilizing programs that we have in place, and, you know, making sure that these programs, nonprofit organizations, or everything that have certain things that, you know, gets put on city workers, you know, accountability. You know, we give grant money to a lot of these different programs and stuff like that, but there's no accountability when nothing is done. So I think that's a big thing that can attract people, because people will come in and want to be a part of these things because they want that pride. They want to see the community grow. And, you know, like myself, you know, I love this community more than anything. And so when different things happen and doesn't get addressed or anything like that, I carry that load on myself like a lot of the people in the community do. So I feel it needs to be addressed.
It's 10:49 on KVUE and KVUE.com. This is our first of four candidate forums. We're going to take our final break here on the program. Two more questions to come, and we again want to thank those of you who have submitted questions through the KVUE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line here for the program today. 10:49, final segment of KVUE's candidate forum coming up next.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated,
roofing and sheet metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Last segment of KVOE's Candidate Forum for today. Again, our guests, and we're very grateful for their time today, Becky Smith, Will Spencer, and Aaron Harder, all running for Emporia City Commission. And don't forget that Thursday, 10:06, we'll be talking with Jamie Souter and Travis Hitt here. Again, 10:06 Thursday morning here on KVOE. We've referenced this a couple of times earlier in the program, very early in the program. Speaking of economic development, there's a lot of conversation about having available shovel-ready land. This is something that former RDA director Ken Heerman was very big on for a number of years. But the question comes up is, what can Emporia do besides having that shovel-ready land to attract businesses, add to its economic base, and maybe some economic areas locally that could see some bolstering? Aaron, you actually mentioned this early to kind of get our conversation started, so kind of bears fruit that you're the one starting our conversation on this topic right now.
Sure. We have shovel-ready land. The problem is, what else do businesses need? If they need three-phase power or underground utilities or something, that's going to take some time as well. Evergy is a couple years out on getting enough power for some businesses. That's just not quick enough for some of the businesses. It matters where they're at in their planning stages. It matters if we have the workforce. It matters if we have the housing for said businesses. I think the city and the county needs to be able to be ready to evaluate what a business could do for the Emporia economy and make quick decisions on whether they accept those or not.
Okay. Will, what's your thoughts on what city can do to attract businesses and then maybe some different economic sectors that could see some bolstering?
Well, of course, I feel like, of course, like I've stated numerous times, you know, meeting with these stakeholders, these corporations and stuff, and seeing what it is that they need, and then utilizing our resources in order to make it grow, you know, showing the community is, you know, together and prepared to grow. That can be a big factor for a lot of these companies, because it's something that they want to see in the improvement of their corporations, because they're investing money. And by showing, you know, investing into Emporia is, you know, a win, can be very big. And I think that's something that, you know, communication with these companies, not letting them just because they say, well, I don't have this, that, and the other, and just forgetting about it, you know, staying in communication with these companies, you know, meeting with, you know, the owners, not just the people that are running these corporations, you know, having those conversations with them and showing, you know, Emporia is a great place to raise a family. Emporia is a great place to, you know, have, you know, a workforce and everything in that aspect, you know, that becomes attractive to a lot of these companies. And, you know, they want to see something where if they invest into it, they're going to grow. And we want to see the community grow as well. So the communication with both and showing what we need from them as well as what they need from us and making that come together, that can be huge.
Becky, what's your thoughts?
The city does a lot of incentives, and we have our incentive package, and it actually has changed through the years. It is not the same way we were doing things 20 years ago. Our new RDA director, Chuck Scott, does a very good job of always keeping communication going. Those that have even turned us down for one project, he reaches out and says, hey, if you have a smaller project or a different project, you know, don't forget about us. And he does a good job of reaching out. I think we also need to look inward. We have a lot of businesses that have started to grow, like Fanistols, Dynamic Discs. There's probably 10 more out there that we could probably prop up a little bit more and go, hey, would you like to move to the next level? And what can we help you with? The welding department at the Tech College, automotive department at the Tech College, just all kinds of things that are going on that, you know, you can start a small business with one person like a Jeremy Rusko, and now look, they're a multi-million-dollar international company, same with Fanistols. So I think we need to not only look outside, I think we need to look inward and see what we can do for those companies.
Okay. Well, this is the time of the program where we basically ask the question, why vote for you? This is our closing statement time. Will, I will start with you. Why should voters cast their votes for you on November 7th?
Well, every day I work with and listen to individuals of every ethnicity and interest that comes my way. I provide equal attention and care to all in the community, so I'm very accustomed to dealing with a lot of these situations. I'm a very open person, and I'm about bringing the community as a whole together to prevent the divide, and I will be in every neighborhood to unite the community. My goal is to make sure that our community as a whole, meaning Black, White, Latino, Asian, and all people are represented, and for tax dollars to be distributed evenly through the community so that the community as a whole is able to grow. And we address a lot of the different situations that the community is dealing with, such as mental health, and making sure that that load's not put on just the officers or these mental health programs. And we work together to sit there and make every issue that's dealt with come together. So I will be very hardworking, and the biggest thing is I will care, and I will carry that care with me for the entire community.
Will, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. Becky, your turn. Why should voters cast their votes for you by November 7th?
Well, I think I've had a good track record for the last 6 years. I've been open to listening to all sides. We have really, really come a long way in the last 6 years that I've been on the commission. We've had to make some tough choices. We can't always make everybody happy, but we at least can explain why. We have good transparency, I feel. You can always call about anybody on the commission at any time, or Trey, our city manager, or Mark, our debtor, our assistant city manager, and we will happily sit down and explain to you why we've made this choice. You know, you can watch our commission on live on Facebook Live, or you can just go back and watch it anytime you want. So I feel like my track record is kind of speaking for itself. And of course, I am, what, 6-7 generations deep into Emporia. My family's not going anywhere. In fact, they keep coming back. So, which is great. So I'm not going anywhere. My family's not going anywhere. And I want to make Emporia the best possible place it will be. And I want to make everybody to have pride in their hometown.
Becky Smith, thanks again for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Aaron Harder, you have the last word. Why vote for you?
Why vote for me? I would love to see the city of Emporia continue to grow. There's plenty of opportunities near and far that the city of Emporia can capitalize on to grow. I feel like I'm a pretty good steward of the taxpayers' dollars. When an issue arises, I try my best to hear both sides of the issue, research both sides of the issue, and then make a common sense decision. And I would appreciate your vote next month.
Outstanding. Aaron Harder, thank you. Appreciate
thank
your
you,
time.
Chuck. And thanks to Becky. Thanks to Will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to everybody for showing up here for our candidate forum. Again, our guests today have been Aaron Harder, Becky Smith, and Will Spencer. Thursday, 10:06, it's Travis Hitt and Jamie Souter. Candidate forums for school board candidates will be October 19th and October 24th, all at 10:06 in the morning. This has been Candidate Forum, and you've been listening to KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
Today's Candidate Forum on KVOE has been brought to you by Geotech, your land's